bringing the stories of people just like us directly into your home and learning more about them. This is Trent Speaks. Another week, and that means another week of material, and this week I'm with Leanne, everyone's favorite unofficial co-host.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for having me.
You're not talking loud enough. You can see right here.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, now you talk too loud. Sorry if Leanne just blew your speaker. You can just invoice her and she will pay for the cost of a new speaker for you. Or a new eardrum if that's what happened in the case there. I've been getting a lot of flack for the way that I approach the no alcohol for the year. Because you should see Leanne's face right now, squinting at me and looking at me all weird, because Leanne thinks that I threw her under the bus.
Yeah, okay, so just a justification. Let me clear my throat. Okay. So I told Trent that I was going to try something this year, and I was going to not, you know, indulge in drinking alcohol.
Can you talk up a little bit?
Yeah. Indulge in drinking alcohol, but
which you don't do very often anyway.
I was just about to say that. But I don't really drink a lot as it is. I do like my glass of wine, but, you know, that doesn't happen very often.
So really, you should have gave up working out, because that's something you do all the time anyway.
But I just thought, it's something I want to do because I could do it, and I like the feeling of being able to conquer something. And so I told Trent, I was like, oh, I think I'm going to do this. I'll invite you to join me if you would like. But Trent,
I was already considering it, though. And your sister, when she FaceTimed me, said, Leanne has a proposition for you. And you're like, yeah, I do.
I just thought, why, like, if you want to join, you're more than welcome to, but this is not a forced thing. This is not me coercing you into doing something and you having negative outlook on it. So if you do not want to partake in this activity, you do not need to.
Well, and Kyle was the one who said, Trent, when you were speaking last week, you sounded like an alcoholic with the way that you were presenting all of your information, which I'm not an alcoholic per se,
but
I put a lot of thought into how was I going to do this dry 2019, basically. Yeah, but I'm doing it to support you.
I didn't ask. I just
you
invited.
Did. You brought I up the idea. You brought up the idea. All right, no one wants to hear 3 minutes of us talking about alcohol. One thing I'm really excited for is in the next few weeks, I'm going to have a crap ton of guests. Now, over the almost past year, it's been almost a year already, so almost over the past 11 months or so, I've said multiple occasions how this podcast isn't only to share the story of others, but it's to share the story of people that I don't know. And it's been a lot of people that I know on the podcast, which is fine. You got to start somewhere and you got to start with some people that you know. But I recently found this Facebook group where I've been able to connect with a lot of people who... You doing that distracts me. You pulling out your camera distracts me. Been able to connect with a lot of different people who I don't know. And so I'm very excited to interview them. I have a few interviews lined up. And I'm very excited to talk to these people who essentially are strangers and to be able to share their stories with you through the platform of this podcast. Like I said, approaching a year already, and it's crazy to think, but I'm excited to see what happens in what's almost considered the second year of the podcast. You know, it's also been funny before. One of my friends, Taylor, has brought this up. And so it's been something that we've talked about before, is how awesome it would be to have a decluttering podcast where we talk about decluttering. And so funny enough, that's not what we're talking about today, but funny enough, that is what we're going to be doing after this podcast, correct? Leanne's too busy taking her own video right now on her camera. Well, what we're really here for this week is to deliver you what should have happened a couple weeks ago. Life happens. things get delayed. That's just the way it works out. Schedules don't line up. But who are you sending that to? Why are you sending that to me? Oh my gosh. Anyway, but we want to bring you part two of the Iceland podcast. Bear with us. This one might be a little bit longer. We're not quite sure how this is going to pan out quite yet. We also want to get to your questions that you had for us. So we want to make sure that we answer those at the end. And if you get sick of Leanne's coughing, just turn down your radio dial. All right. So when we last left you, we were just about to jump into what was considered day three of our journey. And this would have been our first two-day trip that we had taken. Now, one thing I want to point out is, and we had just talked about this earlier today, actually, about their hot chocolate there. I had a Swiss mocha. Now, it was really good. It's just not what you would expect, but I did love the hot chocolate there. And like you were saying, it's because not all the sugar's added, not all the powder is added.
Yeah, because they use steamed milk, and they probably melt down like actual chocolate and mix it together. Whereas in America, everything is like sugar processed, and packets of hot chocolate come, you know, powdered, and it's just like all, I don't know, it's like all synthetic and not like the good stuff.
There's so. Leanne's text to me of that video she just took.
I don't know how to describe it other than it was very authentic.
So what happens when you go on these tours? Well, we were very lucky because depending where you were in Reykjavik, you may have had to walk to a bus stop. There is a certain area where it's a restricted zone for all the tour companies, and so you have to go to a bus stop. We were very lucky and very fortunate, I would say, to be picked up directly at our hotel every single time. So we just had to wait outside. So Sven was our tour guide. Sven, like I said previously in Iceland Part 1, Christina really set the bar high for everyone. And so I had extremely high expectations for tour guides for the rest of the trip. Sven, how would you describe Sven? He was 100% Icelandic. He was born and raised in Iceland, and he was the only tour guide that we had.
Right. I think that he had like just a really good perspective of stuff that he experienced growing up there. Like, what I found most interesting that he talked about was this volcano and mountain called Hekla. And something that was like kind of profound that stuck out to me that he talked about was he had this fascination with this mountain and this volcano, Hekla, when he was younger, and he would draw pictures of it. And at one point he drew a picture of it and it was erupting, and he showed his dad and look at this. And then he's like, I feel like it's going to erupt. And his dad was like, you know, you're obsessed. Like, knock it off. Like, chill out. A week after, this volcano erupted. So he was like, I essentially predicted that this like volcano erupted Hekla. So I don't know. He just had, you know, a lot more information and perspective of stuff that, you know, especially on the countryside of like the island, that he kind of saw growing up and as he got older. And he said that he was lucky enough to see this volcano erupt twice in his lifetime. So just kind of cool to see how, you know, people that live there experience it and how things change over time. And yeah, it's just pretty fascinating. Like these volcanoes that are erupting all the time. And then, okay, so then I really enjoyed this part. We went to this, one of the stops on the trip was this volcano exhibit, and it gave this huge interactive map of all the volcanoes and mountains on Iceland. And it gave a 48-hour display of all the different earthquakes that happened over the last you know, 48 hours. So it was really cool to see like what they were on the Richter scale. And there's, you know, earthquakes happening all the time because it's on the, Iceland is on the, in between the North American and Eurasian continental plate. So everything is always shifting. So it's just really cool to see. And on this map, like,
are you tapping the table?
I don't know, maybe on the map that just showed like all the different locations it was happening. And eventually, at some point, there's going to be an earthquake that will trigger a volcano a volcano eruption. So, I don't know. I just think it's really cool how that, piece of geology, like, manifests in the entire island.
And on this trip, there were 16 of us, and so he would, every time, start to count in Icelandic how many of us there were. Come to find out, six is sex, and so that means that 16 is Sextown. So the joke became we were Team Sextown.
Yeah.
And so every time he would ask, "Is everyone here?" he would say how he doesn't know how to count. He did have a good sense of humor.
Yeah, he did.
He would always tell us what time we had to be back and everything, and he goes, "This is a German car." He goes, "German car is on time. If you're not back, car leaves. I can't help it. Car just leaves when it wants to leave." Well, I remember driving on the way to our first waterfall stop. I would try to pronounce this, but I can't. But he would say, "And on your left, you'll see this." And so we'd look on our left. Well, then we would drive a little bit further, and he'd be like, "Oh, and if you look on your left..." Well, there was nothing on left. It was actually on the right. So he would keep saying on the left, whether it was on the left or on the right. So at one point, I remember Leanne turned to me and she goes, "Which left?"
Yeah.
But he was really funny. We really enjoyed him. We stopped at one set of waterfalls, which was really cool. And then we went to Skógafoss. Skógafoss, again, foss means waterfall. Skoga meant forest, so this translated to forest waterfall, and it was 200 feet. We actually walked all the way up to the top. Gosh, what a hike that was. Mm-hmm. But which you're probably like, "Oh, it was only 200 feet. It couldn't have been that bad."
There's a lot of stairs.
There was a lot of stairs, yes. And they were kind of, depending where you were because of the terrain of the land and how they were built, they could have been a little bit wobbly at times.
Mm-hmm.
But gosh, what a beautiful view. And you know, you may hear us say that a lot of times on here, but Iceland in general was just so beautiful and so breathtaking.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure I wrote it on here for a little bit later, but I'll say it now. We stopped in a town in our second two-day tour, which was a few days later, of course. And my first thought was, okay, look at all of these mountains and how beautiful it was. And I remember turning to you and saying, "You know, this is everyday life for people." To me, I'm like, "Oh my gosh, look at like this. This is amazing. Like, people live here." And to Icelanders, like,
just another day.
Just going to the grocery store, going to get my groceries. "Oh, can't see the mountain today because it's cloudy. Oh, well. Oh, looks like it's clear today." And I'm just like, I don't know. It was just so cool. After we left Skógafoss, which... Let me go back to Skógafoss real quick. I think it's very interesting. We, again, lucked out with the weather there, but down by Skógafoss, because it's 200 feet and such a gigantic waterfall, you could not only feel the mist, but on the ground, it was also very icy still.
Yeah, it was like a sheet of ice. And it's like the ice was covering different, like the rocks on the ground and stuff. And people were like, the ice extended a little bit out into the river. And people were like trying to stand on the ice, like in the river to get a picture with no other people in it. And so it was kind of fun to watch those people because at some point I saw a few people like, you know, break through the ice a little bit and get their ankles wet. And finally I like convinced Trent because he's like, "Oh, party pooper. Like, we had to make sure we're at the bus at this time. Otherwise it's going to drive away." And I'm like, "Okay, chill." But I wanted to go closer to
those people. Not on.
I wanted to go closer to this waterfall to get a good
I'm glad we did
a good view. And I don't know where I was going with that, but it was just very icy. And we should have worn, like, those yak tracks at that point, because I feel like that would have been a time to utilize those. But it was just, like, you could... we were wearing, like, hiking boots, and we were still, like,
struggling. Yak tracks are essentially little tiny spikes to help you get a little more traction. They don't know what yak tracks are.
Okay. Anyways. So that was Skagafoss.
Skagafoss. And then we went to the Black Sand Beach. And, my gosh, the waves, the pictures that we took, and the videos don't even do it justice. You can't even really tell. But the waves were... humongous. I don't even know. How big do you think the waves were?
I have no idea what I would even, how to even describe it, other than, like, it was really mesmerizing. These waves would just come up and it would swallow everything up in its path that it came, that was, you know, I mean, it was just like water and the beach and the sand and stuff, but like, they had what was called, like, sneaker waves that could come up out of nowhere and suck you, like, into the water. And it was just really, it was really scary because all these people, not knowing better, were out really close to the water. And if one of these waves came out of nowhere, it would have just sucked them right into the ocean. Like, and it drops off so deep, like... I don't know, and the waves are so powerful, there's just, like, no way you'd ever be able to come back from that. So, I don't know. I saw at one point some guy, like, standing out there with, like, his tripod and trying to get, it like, a good sheet, a good, like, picture, and this lady comes running at him, like, screaming, like, get out of there and stuff because he's going to get sucked in all just for the gram. Just for the picture. I don't know. Some of these people and what they would do to take a picture and, like, get the good shot. It was a little interesting. And
yeah. Well, and part of this reads right here. Reynes Friara, if I'm saying that correctly. Part of the coastline was chosen in 1991 by Islands Magazine as one of the 10 most beautiful non-tropical beaches in the world. It is a popular spot stop on the south coast due to the surrounding geology. As beautiful as the beach is, do not go near the water. Sneaker waves can quickly pull people out to the sea, and the water is extremely cold. Even in the best of weather, the waves can push forcefully high upon the land and have people pulled out to sea who were merely taking a walk too close to the water. Take care and never leave children to play on this beach, as per the itinerary we received, which a week later you had tagged me in a video from that exact beach,
yeah,
where people were standing too close and the sneaker wave came up and
knocked everyone.
I would say, what were there, 7-8 people at the very least that, like, you could see them tumble and fall, and it, like, literally, I'm shocked no one got pulled out.
Right. Yeah. It's just, you don't mess with nature. I don't know. No matter how beautiful it is, like, getting that close to it, it's pretty profound. But they also, at the Black Sand Beach, they had, like, these basalt columns, which were really cool. Like, very unique. Just, like, columns of this dark, like, I guess black sand that hasn't, like, broken down. And then they're just these columns. Like, it's a whole wall of them. And then out in the actual water, there's these, like... these pieces of rocks, like, I don't know how to use, I mean, go look at the pictures. It's a better description of what I'm trying to say.
And this is sounds from there. This is some of the waves and everything.
Sounds like the wind.
There was a lot of wind.
Yeah. Anyways, so, yeah, I'd say the Black Sand Beach was, like, one of the coolest things that we...
We could have stood there for hours,
yeah,
upon hours.
I wish we had more time because I could have watched it all day.
What was really nice about doing the tours, and this is something I greatly appreciated with it being our first time ever going there, was that there would always be bonus stops, and it didn't matter who your tour guide was or what tour you were on. They always threw in bonus stops, and one of the bonus stops that was thrown in for us from Sven was lava fields and the Black Canyon, and that was a bonus stop for us. And so to see these to look out and see these lava fields covered in moss that was tens of maybe even hundreds of years old. That takes 70 to 100 years to grow. And this place was just covered in moss and lava. That was really cool.
The lava field, the lava field was like over 3,000 years old, I think he said. No, I think 3,000 is too.
Yeah, but the moss takes a very long time to grow.
Yeah. Like 70, I thought he said 70 years.
70 to 100 years.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, there it is. The hot cocoa tastes different. Oh, yeah. Height Sukaraji. That's how you say hot cocoa or hot chocolate, right?
I don't remember.
Height Sukaraji. Height Sukaraji. Height, that means hot. Oh. Sukaraji. Chocolate. Yeah, chocolate. Height Sukaraji.
This was one of your things. I don't know.
Yeah, that's when I asked the waiter, how do you say this? And he said, I don't know. I'd have to go ask someone. Because he didn't know how to say it. Why did I say drive rest of life?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that note means. Anyway, so that moving on to the second day of our two-day journey. It was amazing. For me, I slept through the entire night. I don't know how sleep was for you there, and it's really weird because you really don't have jet lag. Did we have jet lag?
I don't know. Our patterns were thrown off a bit.
I could not sleep.
And plus, because they only have like five hours of daylight, it would be like 3 o'clock and it'd be dark already, and I would just be tired because it was dark. Like, it was, you know, still like mid-afternoon, but it just makes it feel so much later than it actually is, so I kind of... My sleeping was thrown off the entire time we were there. But coming back, we were fine. Well, I was fine. I felt better.
Leanne, you need to talk louder.
Sorry.
Or talk closer.
Sorry.
Yeah. I don't know if we talked about breakfast last time, but they don't have, like, eggs and bacon and sausage. Like, it's not what you would be used to.
It's not American.
Right. No, I know. That's what I'm trying to say.
Right.
They had salami and they had hard-boiled eggs.
It was just a lot of protein.
And the one morning we had waffles, but the waffle isn't a waffle like you're thinking. It was more like a flat waffle.
Can we just
add a weird aftertaste?
Can we just everyone pause and listen to how Trent says waffle? Say it again.
Yeah, I'm talking about the waffles.
You say it so weird. Anyways, they were really good.
Now everyone's going to rewind and be like, how did he say that?
Those waffles were so good.
Waffles. All right. So we went on an ice cave tour. And so what that means is we went on to the largest glacier in the country.
Jokul.
No, that's the volcano that we saw.
That's underneath it.
We went on the largest glacier in the country, which is in the south coast. It was more like the southeast part. Covers 1/7 of the country. And we went on these ice cave tours that are on the glacier that are naturally formed. And so Leanne doesn't remember this, but this guy's name was Guni.
Yeah, see, AFI is Jokul.
Jokul, not Jokul.
With the volcano.
Guni took us on. Guni was our tour guide for the ice caves, and he was awesome. He's been doing tours for 20 years. I'm really thankful that we had helmets because I don't know if you ever smacked your head, but I smacked my head twice.
I'm not that tall.
Yeah, it was probably being tall. But I smacked my head twice on the ice. So I'm thankful I had a helmet. And it's amazing. There was a bridge probably about a half mile to maybe a mile max out. And within 80 years, the glacier had receded back from that bridge. And he said, you know, some people don't believe in global warming, but we have evidence of it right here.
Yeah.
There was also a lagoon that had started forming where ice breaks off and everything. And that didn't begin forming until only 18 years ago. Actually, this past weekend, I was with my friend Dylan, and we were looking this up on Google Earth. And from if you look at the 1940 image to the 2016 image, it is astounding at the difference that you can see and how far back that glacier has receded. And you can see that lagoon starting to form.
You're right. And some people don't believe in global warming, which is a different time and a different day for that discussion.
I would say that this was probably my favorite part of the trip.
The glacier and the ice caves. Yeah, that was my favorite as well. Because, like, we were on top of and inside a glacier. Like, I don't know. You just, looking out, I felt, like, so small and, like, everything else was so big around us. And it was just, it's pretty incredible and very, I don't know, just made you feel very, I don't have words to describe. I just want to go back.
Well, and when we went down to the lagoon, it was very funny. I was laughing at their sign because it wasn't really a proper English the way this was written. It was a guy who's kind of like floating in the water, and it's obviously telling you don't go in the water, but the thing said you only survive few minutes. Right. And I just thought it was funny the way that it was worded, so I had to take the picture of that. One thing we learned is that there were, of course, 6 minutes less of sunlight daily. And so, of course, as it is around the rest of the world, the 21st of December is the shortest day of the year. But for them, what that means is that in the south, they probably only get about 2 hours of sunlight for the entire day. And that number is less the further north that you go. And even in just the week that we were there, I could tell that the sun had been setting earlier and that the daylight, the length of days had been getting shorter as well.
Right, yeah.
We're both sitting here staring at the computer, looking at the notes that we had written down.
Oh, right. Black Diamond Beach.
Oh, yeah. Black Diamond Beach. So that's where we found pieces of ice that had broken off the glacier and washed up onto the beach.
And it was essentially like this huge playground of icebergs. Like, it was so cool. Like, everyone was just out there, like, climbing on top of the ice, and like it's all that blue ice. It's so like crystal blue. It's like really incredible. And there were a couple, I think twice we saw a couple icebergs just coming out of the lagoon and going like right out to sea. And it was just like so crazy to see, but also like also a representation of like how sad it is with, you know, climate change and stuff like that. But also, then I was thinking about it, we're really contradicting everything by saying we appreciate the beauty of the scenery, but then we're on this beach probably helping contribute to climate change and everything by climbing on all these icebergs. I don't know. It's just something I thought about.
Leanne made a comment. She goes, quick, take a picture of me up here before my body heat melts this ice.
Yeah.
As if that was going to happen.
Well, I mean, ultimately.
Well, then those, of course, are waves, too, where they'll just kind of, they're not sneaker waves necessarily, but they'll get up there from time to time. And we were walking, and I found this blue case on the ground, and I picked it up, and it happened to be an iPhone in there. And so we're standing there talking about, like, what do we do with this? We didn't know if we should turn it in, because if we turn it in, what are they going to do with it? When Leanne says, Trent, keep it, and we will figure it out for ourselves of how to return it to someone, because then it could be a good story. It would be like an adventure. So as she's saying this, all of a sudden, water is very quickly rushing up the shore. Leanne gets out of the way. My feet get sopping wet, because I wasn't able to run from the water fast enough, apparently. So now my shoes and my socks are soaking wet. And I thought it became a missed opportunity. It wasn't until after we had turned the phone back in. We didn't get to meet the person, unfortunately. But it wasn't until after we had turned the phone back in where he was going to come pick it up that I was like, Liam, we missed an opportunity to play a game. This could have been really fun. Like, we've been watching you and you're the one that we've been waiting for. Or like,
huh?
I don't remember how I worded it before, but like, we could have messed with this guy and it would have been really fun. We've been watching you and you're everything that we need.
What are you
can save the world.
About?
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, it could have been fun to mess with this guy. Never mind. Never mind. We could have played a fun game with
him. I guess
him.
I had to be there.
You were you were there. I said this to you while we were there.
Oh, I must have missed it.
The glacier ice was 1,000-plus years old, which was amazing. Not only was it white ice, like you're assuming, but it was also blue ice. And it has to do with the compression of the ice and the amount of air that's in the ice as well.
And the air bubbles encapsulated in that ice, actually, also 9,000 years old.
Speak up.
Sorry. Sorry, I'm not being loud enough. Also 9,000 years old.
Leanne freaked out when we were driving because she turns to me and we're just driving. I'm minding my own business, kind of looking out the other side of the bus. All of a sudden I get, oh, Trent, reindeer.
Yeah, there was a reindeer outside. Oh my gosh, it was so cool.
You're so excited. And then you're like, do you think Rudolph's over there?
Hold on. Okay, so supposedly Iceland has more sheep than humans.
And we didn't see any.
Yeah, and I was trying to figure out where were all the sheep while we were there. I was wondering if they, like, travel inland or something for the winter. But I was a little unimpressed because they're like, yeah, there's more sheep on this island than there are people. I didn't see one.
Yeah, we didn't see a single one. Silence. Are you gonna do, what do you do when you sit here? Do you not talk?
I'm reading at the notes that are coming up next because I don't know what our next topic is.
Well, we were going to talk about how funny it was to watch people. So when the tour buses would pull up to these bus stops and everything, it would always be funny to watch people flock to tour buses, like when horses see people with food, or when you're at the petting zoo and the animals know that you have food in your hand. Everyone just flocks to you. And that's kind of what it was with these tour buses. Is the tour bus pulls up, they open the doors, and this herd of people start to look and try and see if that's their bus or not. We were finally able to reschedule that night our Northern Lights tour that had been canceled on the first night that we were there. So this guy, Tony, picked us up, and there was also another guy, Lucas, that was joining in another van. Lucas was pronounced as, like, the expert Northern Lights hunter, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a 3 out of 9, right? Is that the scale that they use, a 9-point scale?
I don't know.
I think it was a 3 out of 9 on the scale of a chance of us seeing the Northern Lights. And we ended up seeing the Northern Lights that night.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
But it wasn't like anything we haven't seen before.
We've been lucky enough to see the Northern Lights before when we lived in Marquette. So it was mainly just like a green haze that we saw while we were in Iceland. It wasn't a very, high solar activity, but we were definitely lucky to be able to say we've seen them in Iceland.
And that's all that matters, I suppose. I do remember standing outside that night, and a lot of people went back in, and we were like, where's everyone going? Like, they're basically like, all right, we've seen them, we're done, we're ready to leave, and we're like, let's just stay out here. And I can't remember what I said, but I had said something about being American, just to Leanne. We were talking, and I said something about being American. And Leanne goes, shh, don't advertise that. And then what she had mentioned before, like, don't draw attention to us. They're going to know. And then what Leanne starts to do is she proceeds to do this, like, weird, crazy, I'm cold, let me warm up dance. And I said, you didn't want me to attract attention to us being American?
That was cold. It was cold out there. That was probably one of the only times while we were there that I was actually cold.
Man, if you're going to be an unofficial co-host, you need to learn how to talk into the microphone.
Sorry.
Instead of not looking at it and talking like this, and now you're not actually talking.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I'll teach you sometime how to read these levels. Stop doing that with my colored pencil.
All right.
So after that two-day tour, we went on a yet another two-day tour. And I think it was at this point that we both agreed we were starting to feel the burnout. Okay, I guess you're not going to talk.
No, I am. You have to cue me.
You just have to know social cues.
I do.
So on our next two-day tour, we went to the West Coast, this time with Carlos. Leanne, I don't think I ever said this to you. I just thought this, and I was like, I'll bring it up when we podcast. So there were only six of us in total for, like, tourists, basically, and then Carlos would make seven. And so as we were driving, I had the Gilligan's theme song stuck in my head, and then I started thinking, if this was, like, the boat, what character do you think everyone would have been? And so, for entertainment for myself, I started going around the bus. I was like, oh, yep, there's Marianne, and yep, Carlos would be the skipper, and I would be Gilligan.
No, I would.
You would be Gilligan?
Yeah.
Okay, you're not tall, you're not skinny, you're not male.
Whoa. Why do we have to talk about Gilligan as being tall, skinny,
but
male?
Also, wasn't...
It's figurative.
Wasn't he nerdy like me? I see a lot of me in Gilligan, or Gilligan and me, however you
I
want to
look
at
that. I
see
a lot of me in Gilligan being very oblivious and, like, not totally there up there.
Okay, Skipper. So who would I have been? You got the professor, you've got...
I think you'd be the
Skipper.
Wife. I think you'd be the wife of the millionaire.
Millionaire and his wife, the movie star, Professor and Marion. So those are your options.
Yeah, I said I think you'd be the wife.
Gilligan, the skipper too. Oh yeah, that's how it goes. Okay. I'd be the wife of who?
Oh my gosh, the millionaire.
I was too busy singing. I would not, there's a lot of things I would like to say, but I'm not going to say them. I would not be her, though. I would definitely not be her. So for the first hour and a half of this one, I was always really tired because I didn't sleep at night very well. So the first hour and a half, I was sleeping. Apparently, later in the day, I asked questions that should have been already answered.
Right, so Trent,
and Leanne thought I was stupid.
Trent fell asleep like 5 minutes into our bus ride while Carlos, our guide, was like telling us about himself. And so I knew that, you know, he grew up in, I don't know, Costa Rica. And then he came here, or he moved somewhere else, and then he moved to Iceland. And that he was into math and IT stuff prior to moving to Iceland to be a tour guide. And then he just shared his life story, right? And then later on, we're just like chatting, small talk, chatting with him. And Trent's asking him all about his life before he came here and stuff. And I'm like listening to Trent and I'm like, oh my gosh, he already told all of this to us. But he fell asleep.
Well, and then Long D Word Hot Spring. I don't even know. I can't even find it on the sheet of what that would have been called. But there was a hot spring that we went to first thing that morning. And it pushed out 60 gallons per second. Isn't that amazing? He said it.
I feel like it was more than that.
No, he said 60 gallons a second.
Oh.
That I was actually listening to because I was awake for. And then we went to Barnafoss, which means child's waterfall. And Leanne and I were both saying, because Carlos was very laid back, when Carlos said, all right, we'll be here for 20 minutes. What Carlos meant was, well, take your time and come back whenever. 20 minutes was more of a guideline than anything.
Right. And then Trent's so, like, tied up on time.
You're not even talking to the microphone.
Trent is so, like, time, you know, conscious. And I'm like, wait, let's just, like, hang out and enjoy it. And Trent's like, we got to get back to the bus. I'm like, oh, my gosh. Because
I don't want to be that person that's late and the people are waiting on. Like always. Because of you. But we did appreciate that this was a lot more chill. We both said that. We went to a beach where there were seals, which was really cool. I think what was even cooler than watching the seals was watching the tide. So we were there for probably, I don't know, I would say at least a half hour. Stop using that. Give that to me. We were there for probably at least a half hour. And, like, by the end of it, you couldn't even see where we had been standing anymore because the tide had come in so high.
Right. And Trent didn't realize the tide was an actual thing.
That's not true.
I was like, oh, look, the tide's coming up. Cause, and then you're like, wait, what? And I was like, yeah, the tide goes up all the way behind us. And you're like, does it really?
It was just because that's so far away or so far for the tide to go.
Yeah. But there were, like, people that got there after us. It was pretty, like, empty when we were right on the shoreline. And then the people that got there after us were, like, going up right to the, you know, edge of the water. And then they were taking pictures of these seals, so they were kind of distracted. And come to, you know, find out that the tide was already going past where they were because they were standing on these rocks.
Carlos
and
I were hoping that they would fall in. We kept talking back and forth how hopefully they fall in or...
Right, so it was just kind of funny to watch these people, like...
Get trapped, basically.
Yeah, and try and figure their way out of the rising tide.
They weren't even paying attention. We ate dinner at the hotel restaurant that night. There were two dessert options, chocolate cake and skyr pudding. Skyr is their own brand, essentially, for yogurt over there. There were also two appetizer options and then five main course options, and it was all handwritten. And so I knew right away that this was going to be a very rough night for me to eat. I ended up getting lamb meatballs, and I don't know if I've told you this yet or not, because I wasn't sure if I was going to tell you, but Leanne kept saying how, like, oh, they're lamb testicles. And so I had to not respond and not react because I knew that if Leanne saw me reacting to how gross I thought that was, that she would keep going. And so I didn't react because I was already having a tough time just eating these lamb meatballs while she's trying to say they're lamb testicles. You're eating lamb testicles.
This is so funny.
But I felt really bad for Carlos. How long do you think we were there? A half hour at the very least? We got stuck in the parking lot as we were trying to go out and catch the northern lights. Like, our vehicle was stuck in the snow and everything.
Yeah, it was, like, kind of, it was, like, wet slush that was, like, icing over. And, like, I think he was just trying to be really, like, nice and, like, you know, pulling the van up really close to the door so we don't have to walk far.
Backfired.
Yeah, but, like, then we got stuck. And, I mean, I get it. Like, I've been stuck in a car in the winter before, so it didn't bother me. But I think he was just, like, kind of panicking for a little while there trying to get us out. We eventually did, but, you know.
I was panicking for him. And then I was the only one awake. Everyone else was sleeping. So on our way back from the Northern Lights, everyone else was sleeping. I was the only one awake. I'm pretty sure we got lost. I'm pretty sure Carlos wasn't sure how to get back the route that he wanted to take back. So we're going through this town and we almost leave this town and he turns right onto the street, goes around the block and starts heading back the other direction of the way that we just came. Right before we're about to leave the same town, going back the same direction the way we just came, he goes into a roundabout, turns around, and goes back the same direction that he just turned around from again.
I was sleeping.
I'm pretty sure that he had no idea the route that he was trying to go, and he was still trying to figure it out on the fly. Well, We finally made it back in one piece. The day after that,
we went to.
We had one more day of the 2-day tour.
We went to the lava cave.
Yes, we went to a lava cave. Why did I write water cave?
I don't know. Because.
Is that what it translated to?
I don't know.
Well, this cave is actually known internationally as the location for Jules Verne's novel Journey to the Center of the Earth.
Yeah.
Okay, nice cue, nice cue.
We went inside it.
Veronica was our guide. She was really cool, and we really liked her. She was really nice. It's amazing and very hard to think about how old some of this stuff is sometimes. This lava cave was 8,000 years old.
Mm-hmm.
It just blows my mind.
Right. So I think, I don't know, from what I'm understanding from what she said, when the volcano erupted, all the lava like would go underground and then...
you fluctuate too much on here.
Yeah, you keep like pulling the mic away from me. You keep pushing me towards
because
it.
You keep going. You keep adjusting your levels.
Sorry. So like a volcano would erupt and then the lava would, you know, go underground and then after it would, you know, drain out into, I guess, the ocean, it would leave behind all these different cave formations, and they still are like finding some, and I thought it was really interesting how like there's still like probably miles and miles of caves that are like not even found yet, just from like these volcano eruptions from thousands of years ago.
And then we went to a pebble beach, which is literally what it sounds. It was a beach that had a ton of pebbles on it. Leanne's face, she has no idea what that is. We had a ton of pebbles on it, and there was also a shipwreck that had also washed up on there that had been there for a very long time as well?
Yeah.
Okay, I guess there was
there was
a shipwreck up there. Following that, we went to, how do you say that, Kirkjufell?
Kirkjufell, yeah. It's like one of the most photographed mountains in Iceland. Kind of reminds me of like the wizard Merlin, like his hat.
1,519 feet.
Yes. And I guess it's been on Game of Thrones.
Most photographed due to the nearby lake which reflects it, waterfalls which enhance its beauty, and nearby farmlands which provide a contrast to its stark facade.
Mm.
You know, we were supposed to, and I thought we were, but he was trying to get us back because he wanted to get us back through all the wind. We were supposed to stop at a shark museum and try that fermented shark, and the Brevenin, which I have the Brevenin. I bought the Country Spirit at duty free on the way back, though I'm doing a dry 2019, so I won't be able to try this until 2020.
You can if you want to.
That would be cheating. Though it is water, so I could say I thought it was water, and it just tasted weird, but who knows. Another time, another place. So I learned that sharks pee themselves, and that if you eat a shark fresh when it washes up, eat this particular shark fresh when it washes up, could die. You could die. You could die. But if you wait 3 or 4 months to eat it, you don't die. And so that's where this fermented shark idea came from. But it was very windy on the way back. I know that we've talked about that previously. What?
Nothing.
I know that we've talked about that previously, how windy it was on the way back and how Leanne was scared and everything.
It was so scary.
Wow, good one.
We could have like gotten thrown off the road, or worse, like I was worried about hitting an oncoming car.
The other thing, too, you know, like, everyone said, oh, they're going to play you Icelandic music. They're going to play you Icelandic music on the tour. What they listen to is a lot of just American music, a lot of stuff we would listen to. Also, we noticed that everyone plays Christmas music there, which makes sense because they do have 13 Santas, so they start celebrating on the 12th of December. I was getting to the point this day of sick of trying new food. So I don't even remember what I ended up getting that night, but something that was almost very Americanized, probably.
Oh, yeah. Hold on. We went to an Italian restaurant.
Not that night. Oh. It wasn't that night, though.
Oh, my gosh. That was, like, the biggest facepalm ever.
Well, and then just spending the time at dinner and everything and watching old videos on your phone and stuff before bed, it really made me miss living with you. It made me miss living together. So aww. I'm excited to live together again in me 6 months. The food doesn't fill you up there, but of course, any time that you go abroad, it's not going to fill you up. Because
America is too used to big portions, because we're obese.
heading into what would have been our last full day there, we were supposed to fly to the northern part of the country, went to the airport, and sat there for 2 hours in the domestic airport. There is no security. It's so tiny. It's essentially like two rooms.
And Trent wanted to get there like 3 hours early, and I was like, there's... Why?
Better be safe than sorry. You don't know what to expect. Unfortunately, we weren't able to fly out. Well, I felt like we were in a game of crazy taxi because there was a green light, red left arrow, and the guy went anyway. Even on the way back, the guy ran a red light. The taxis just don't care there. And I feel like the town sleeps till 10, maybe longer. We ended up going back into town, and we were just going to do shopping and exploring of our own for the day. We got some really good recommendations, and nothing really opens in the town until 10 o'clock, but it was nice to start early in the day, get all of our shopping out of the way before the shops filled up with tourists and the like.
Right. Something that I told Trent while we were just like walking around Reykjavik, I was like, you know, Trent, you can always point out who the tourists are, because, I mean, obviously we were, but anyone wearing waterproof pants, tourist, you could tell, because nobody from Iceland wears waterproof pants just walking around. It's kind of funny.
Well, and so after Leanne said that, I couldn't help but every single person we passed, I said, Leanne, I hate that you said that because I can't stop looking at people's pants now. That's all I keep looking at.
Right.
It was highly recommended to us to go to this chocolate factory called Om Nom. That's O-M-N-O-M. Look it up. They have fantastic chocolate. And the reason it's so fantastic is because it's bean to bar. Bean to bar chocolate, that means they do essentially the entire process from, again, just like it sounds, bean to bar, right in their factory. They only add maybe 3 or 4 additional ingredients. They're not adding a whole lot of stuff. There's only 300 of these worldwide. It's something that's grown in the past few years. One thing that, I mean, we learned many things, but a few things that we learned, chocolate never goes bad. Now, I was talking to some friends this past weekend. They said, well, what about like Hershey chocolate when it gets that white on it? My assumption, and I could be wrong here, but my assumption is because that isn't, more so than not, that's not chocolate. I'm just going to say it's not chocolate. The reason I say that is because, so bean to bar, typically I think what we have or what we bought or purchased was anywhere from about 40, 45% cocoa to up to 70, 75% cocoa bean.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's where the chocolate starts to not go bad. Your mainstream chocolate, so Hershey, for example, they add vanilla and excellent. They burn the bean, which is why it tastes the same year round and year to year, is because they burn the bean and they add a bunch of crap into it. And so theirs is only about 18 to 20% cocoa. And so you're getting a lot more flavor out of bean to bar typically. Everyone is different. There is no such thing as good chocolate, bad chocolate, because everyone has their own taste. Everyone has their own opinion. And there is no such thing as raw chocolate. So if someone at a restaurant is telling you, well, there's raw chocolate in here, that's not true because chocolate can't be raw.
Right.
So it was very interesting to learn all of those fun facts and more there. It was $30 a person, essentially.
It was totally worth it.
Right, totally worth it. We're like, oh, that's a lot of money. And then we paid it, and we were there for 2 hours.
Yeah.
It was a two-hour thing.
Got we got our money's
not,
worth.
Right, we did not expect that.
We did a lot of sampling, and then we saw, like, the process of their chocolate being made. And, I don't know, that guide or that, you know, yeah, he was a guide. He was really funny.
He was very funny.
Yeah.
He didn't sugarcoat anything. He dropped the F-bomb a couple times. He liked to say shite. Which I'm sure you can figure out what word that is. He was very entertaining. After that, we had walked by a brewery, and I knew that I wanted to stop at the brewery, of course, because why would you not try Icelandic craft beer? So we went to Harbor Brewery. Well, it wasn't called Harbor Brewery, was it? I don't remember what it was called, but it translated to Harbor Brewery or Brew House. Or Brewery on the Harbor is what the translation was, I remember. We met this guy, Don Bird. I talked about Don Bird last time. Don Bird was an awesome bartender. He was a tour guide for us as well, of the brewery and everything. I really liked him. He was a lot of fun.
He was nice.
He was very nice.
He was kind of spacey, though.
I don't think he was spacey. He might be listening. I really liked him, though. Leanne actually asked him, she said, where are you from?
He was from
Alabama.
Yeah, he had an American accent. I knew it was like a little bit of a southern twang to it, too.
It was really cool. I started to pay and everything. And, of course, you don't tip there, but it gave me an option for gratuity when I paid. And so I said, how do I do this? And he said, he laughed and he goes, oh, that's really nice of you, but it's really not necessary. I think that it was very cool because we saw this a few times that people are very honest with you. They're very upfront with you. And so I don't feel like that's always the same way here in America. When he was talking to us about the three different options we had for a tour and everything, he actually told us the cheapest way to do it because there was a happy hour.
Mm-hmm.
And so he said, you know, it's going to be cheaper to do it essentially option A versus option B and C. You're going to get your money's worth this way. And so I really appreciated that. Went to an Italian barber on the last day, or our very, very last day. Went to an Italian barber. If I lived in Iceland, I'd go to him all the time. He was funny, he was nice, and he really did a great job on my hair and my mustache. couple other things to wrap up here. The Yule Lads. So the Yule Lads are these 13 Santas that they do.
Oh, it's in my car.
These 13 Santas, Leanne's got a book all about them and everything.
Essentially, they're, like, evil. So, I haven't read the book, though, and it's supposed to be, like, a children's thing. So, stay tuned for that.
Leanne, while I look up the questions that people had for us that they wanted us to answer, why don't you give your overall thoughts of the trip?
I think people already know how I feel about it, that I would go back instantly, and I was there for the scenery, and it was beautiful, and honestly, I don't really have any words to describe it other than you have to be there to actually see it, and if anyone has any questions about going or wanting to go or traveling there or, you know, places that we got to see, feel free to ask, but yeah, my favorite thing that we did there was the ice cave tour and the glacier tour, the glacier lagoon, the diamond beach. Those are all pretty spectacular. And that was my thoughts.
I can't find the exact thing right now, but one of my friends wanted to know how many hot dogs we had there and how were the hot dogs?
Oh, I had two hot dogs while we were there. Apparently, Iceland is like famous for their hot dogs, which they were like good. They weren't Portillo's, that's for sure, because I think Portillo's is way better. But yeah, they're good.
How was the lamb soup?
Lamb soup was really good. I had a bread bowl lamb soup at one point. And I really like that. And I guess the place we went to had, like, unlimited, so you could keep going back if you wanted more, but I only got one. I tried also that night the, dried fish. Was that it? I think it was.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and that was interesting. It was just dried up fish, and it was very difficult to chew. I remember the tour guide, that girl, what was her name? Christina. She said, don't ever get dried fish and open it up in an enclosed place like a plane, because people will hate you for it because it's kind of stinky.
It smells really bad.
Yeah, but it tasted okay.
Were there any language barriers, or did everyone speak English? Is there an Icelandic accent?
Everyone spoke English.
Everyone speaks English. There are more people there that know how to speak English than Icelandic, because yeah. I can vouch for that, because when I asked two people to speak Icelandic for me, two people could not speak Icelandic for me. So there was zero language barrier with anyone, really. I mean, we had zero problem with the language. I don't know that there was really... I mean, yeah, you could say everyone has accents, but it's not... The only person I had trouble with in an accent was my guy in the Blue Lagoon locker room, who I fully could not understand the word that were coming out of his mouth. But that was about it for me.
I think a majority of, like, people that we interacted with, like, in town, like, in the shops and, like, restaurants and stuff, they were from, like, other countries, and they came to Iceland because it's so, like, booming and, like, you know, so big in tourism that there are so many jobs available. This is my theory, that most people are from other countries and weren't native to Iceland. So
did you use American money? The answer is no. So basically I'll ask the second part of the question. Is the cost of living higher or lower in Iceland compared to here, or the value of the American dollar?
Well, it costs more for there, but I don't know about living.
I think it costs less, though. I think it costs more than we thought it did.
Products cost more there. Food costs more there. Like, but to live there, I think it wouldn't.
I think the dollar is stronger there.
Worth more?
Yeah, the dollar is stronger there. Because really, so like if their price was $90, we were paying just under $90 for something.
Yeah.
So the dollar would maybe be stronger there. But yeah, we didn't use American money. It's actually
Kronos.
A lot Kronos. Better. It's a lot better to pay with your card.
Yeah.
And when you paid with your card, they would tell you, again, this is them being nice in my opinion, they would tell you select the ISD option. Because that's going to be cheaper than you selecting USD.
I wish I would have known.
And you might save fees and everything like that. Ramble for a second.
Anybody have any more questions?
Okay, you can't do that.
Anyone?
Oh, talk about this picture for a second.
So Trent's showing me a picture of somebody falling off of a mountain, and then there's rocks at the bottom.
No, that's not what I No, remember we both thought that was a weird picture?
Yeah.
Because of the way the people are laying?
Mm-hmm.
What made you guys choose Iceland? It looked so amazing.
I've already talked about this. New question. Sorry, listeners.
Kyle. What was your favorite part of the trip? What was your least favorite? So
I already covered this.
Yeah. Again, for me, I would say my favorite part of the trip was the glacier and the ice cave tours. but my favorite day, so that would be my favorite part. My favorite day was actually the day that we spent doing the Om Nom chocolate and the brewery tour. What would you say your favorite day was?
Every day I spent with you.
But what was really your favorite day?
All of them.
What was your least favorite? I don't think I had one.
I didn't really have a least favorite thing.
For me, it would just be getting sick of the food and ready.
Oh my gosh, the food was anymore. So good.
The only thing I could continue to eat every single day was the Arctic char that we had of the restaurant that we went to twice while we were there.
Yeah, I loved everything. I want to go back.
Any tips for us peeps that have never traveled before?
Like travel.
Pack light. Don't be like Leanne. Leanne had to get her bag manually overrided on the way back, and we got lucky that we didn't have to pay for baggage on the way there or the way back.
Happens all the time.
I would say pack lightly.
Allow
for some spontaneity, but also plan some stuff.
Can I talk about packing again? Also, you don't really need an outfit for every day. I found that I was rewearing all my stuff over and over days, and you know, just switching things up.
You're on vacation. Who cares?
I know we weren't really there for being, you know, cute and shit. Excuse me. We were there for the scenery.
Shite.
I was.
Shite. Did you have to learn some Icelandic, or were signs and menus in English?
It was in English.
And getting help finding places and
such. We found
it
okay.
Or did you use we didn't use the language translation app.
No.
Which airline did you use?
Icelandair.
And they were so nice. I really enjoyed them. I'd highly recommend them over WOW.
Yeah, make sure you get a seat with no screaming kid kicking you.
Well, and the thing with WOW, is even though they appear to be cheaper, there's a lot of hidden costs. So, like, you have to pay for your checked bags, and I think you have to pay for your carry-on bag and everything. So really, in the end, it almost evens out to be about the same. I 100% of the time would spend the money again to go with Icelandair.
Hold on. I have a question that I just thought of. Do you understand? Okay. Flight attendants. How do they look so perfect?
Very uniform.
Oh my gosh. Like, they literally have to get their hair done and, like, pinned, like daily. Like, okay. If anyone has any insight on this whole flight attendant thing and how they always look so perfect, like, no hair out of place, like,
so well put together.
Yes, please. I need answers to this because it was puzzling me the entire plane ride and in the airport.
Okay. Mom had 4 questions. Did you see a seal? Yes, we saw 8 or 9. Not very well.
No, it was it was like the sun was going down, so it was more of a silhouette.
She wants to know, what were the native Icelanders like? Friendly, standoffish, or kind and
they're great.
Or snubby?
They're great.
Yeah, they're all very, very nice. Actually, I was just listening to Freakonomics Radio, which is a podcast. And they were talking about the happiest countries. And they were saying Iceland always ranks in the top 10. And I believe it. Believe it. What do they do for fun, the natives?
I'd say they probably appreciate nature.
Yeah, I mean, they go out, they party, they hang out, just like we would here.
They're swimming pools. That's what they do, is they go in their, like, hot springs, and they just, like, chill. They, like, are very about their swimming pools.
The last question Mom had, what kind of food did you eat? What was the cost and portion size compared to America? I'll talk about cost. Typically, when we were going to sit down for a dinner, we knew it was going to be about $100 between the both of us. So we would always eat breakfast at the hotel.
I, like, ate breakfast. Like, I ate for, like, breakfast and lunch.
If we were going to do lunch, we would just get something at the grocery store to, like, hold us over, and then dinner would be typically our big sit-down time. Portion size, smaller than America.
Yeah, it depended on the place, too, I feel like.
But, I mean, everywhere is smaller than America because we're all fat here.
Yeah.
And then what kind of food?
Oh, my gosh. Seafood. It was lamb, so good.
Fish.
I loved it. Seafood.
Yum. Last question from Jake. I'll let you answer this one. Were the women there hot?
I don't know. I wasn't really paying attention.
All right. Me either. I was just looking at you. All right. That is all the questions that we had. And so that wraps up part 2
of the Iceland podcast. Trent Speaks Iceland podcast. All right, everyone. Have a great night. You don't need to hear us ramble and, you know, chit-chat any longer. Yeah, so take care. Have a great night. It's Saturday.
And a happy new year. No, it's Monday.
Oh, right. I know.
And have a happy new year.
Yeah, bye.